I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm musician-filmmaker Marcio Novelli. If you'd like to be a part of my brand new solo album, please visit marcionovelli.com/pledge.
This week we're joined by Eric Heald, a multi-faceted music industry professional who describes himself as being all about music all the time. He wears many hats in the music business. He handles publicity, promotions, and marketing at Tragic Hero Records, a Warner Brothers and ADA distributed record label. And he also coordinates the studio schedule at Crushtone Studios.
In addition to all of this, he is also studying recording arts and technology at Tri-C in downtown Cleveland, is a stagehand of Live Nation, and in his spare time writes and plays music too. We're excited to hear all about the experience Eric has gained in such a short space of time and the advice he'd offer to others who want to get started in the music industry. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Why did I say that so confrontationally? I'm like, hi, Eric. Hello. It's, you know what that was? That was like Seinfeld, hello, Newman. It was kind of like, hello, Eric. Hello, Marcio. Let's start off. Let's get awkward right off the top and have you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things that everyone should know about me. I guess I'm a fun guy. I really like fun. I really love music. That's why I'm in this for a career. I wanted to be happy in life and, go seek that. So I surrounded myself with music to have fun doing what I'm doing. I also am very, very hardworking because this is my life, music. I wake up, do it 24/7. Like, it just keeps me driving to be better and meet better people. And, I really, really care about people that I work with and people who are doing cool things. And I like to do cool things with cool people. So...
Very nice. So you're fungus. You're a fungi.
I'm hilarious.
I'm hilarious. Ross, please reel me in here and just take over because that's it.
I know. Okay. Eric, this is what I have to put up with. And I know you had to deal with Marcio because he recorded his new album at... It was at Crushtone Studios, right? That you recorded the new album?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've probably been around Marcio more than any human would wish to be around Marcio.
Marcio and I had an absolutely great time at Crushtone Studios. I got to know him very, very well as we figured out where the drums fit in this new album that he's making. And
For sure. Dude, it was a real pleasure. It really was. A portion of this record definitely recorded at Crushtone with this really weird guy named Eric. As Jim referred to it, oh, what's his last name? I can't remember. It's really weird. I can't remember it. I swear to God, that's what he said. I have it on film. It's like, it's really weird. It's not that weird. It's Healed.
It's not that weird. I've heard much weirder surnames.
Well, Jim's weird, so.
People tell me I should be a doctor. Dr. Healed. You know, reassure those patients that they're going to be...
I like that. Dr. Healed. I like that. That was more like, it took me a second there, and I get it. I get it now.
You're all healed.
So yeah, that's how I met Eric. It's actually not too long ago. It's just last month or so, a couple of months ago, depending on when this airs.
Yeah, so I guess since we're talking about you play drums on Marcio's record, how did you get started doing session work?
Honestly, it was just knowing people and then waiting for an opportunity to come up. You know, oh, we need a drummer. I play drums, after a while, it just started out, like, I obviously didn't start working with Jim Wirt because I can play drums. Like, it just started off as scheduling, then sitting in on sessions and learning. Like, I'm really, really into the recording process. I have been since I was, like, 13 years old. when I found out that Guitar Hero microphones USB plugs into a computer and I can use a USB interface to record and layer stuff with like pretty much a piece of plastic. That's kind of where it started. And now I'm getting to work with one of the world's best producers and just take in that whole process. And the things that he does is absolutely unbelievable. So when an opportunity came up for me to play drums, I casually brought up my resume and my ability to play. And, you know, after a while, he gave me a shot. And then the opportunity with Marcio came up and I listened to his album that he previously recorded with Jim. And I was like, hey, this is right up my alley. Like, I'd love to be a part of this. And here I am.
Well, so. Here you are. That's awesome, man. what kind? I'm actually interested in what got you into music in the first place. Where did that bug kind of? Where was that bug planted? Planted you plant bugs? I just totally. You plant a seed. The bug.
A bug if you're in the FBI and you're wanting to listen in on someone. But I mean, this is a different kind of bug.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
That's what happened.
It's been following me since I was a child.
This makes a lot of sense and goes right up my alley when it comes to conspiracy theories.
I think it branched from two different places. My mom is a musician. She's been playing piano for her church when she was my age and probably younger. So you know, I have a little baby grand Yamaha in my parents' house I grew up with. We got started with like piano lessons really young, and I hated piano lessons when I was young, but I'm so glad that I did them because now I just have this like understanding of like music in general. And my dad was, he's not really a musician, but he's definitely a music appreciator. He went and saw all sorts of crazy concerts in the 70s and 80s and has record collections and CD collections. So it's really just osmosis being around all that and watching other people do things. Then I was just like, wow, I want to do that. I want to go play on stage in front of 100 people, 300 people. I want to go record an album. I want to do this. So I really just worked hard on figuring out how to make it happen.
Yeah. And why
should Ross start talking when I was about to ask a question? Is the question I was going to ask?
Because that's how this show works.
This is messing with you. I was wondering if you think that it's a good idea for aspiring artists to get into doing session work, or you know, it's actually, I was just watching this documentary on Netflix about background singers. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about it.
20 Feet to Stardom. 20 Feet from Stardom. Yeah, it's amazing.
From Stardom. Yeah, I haven't finished it because I fell asleep last night watching it, but. It's really cool. You know, kind of some of them did it to get into the industry and some of them actually just love being where they're at and not having to take all the crazy, you know, backlash of being the fame and fortune, everything is, you know, as weird as that sounds. Anyways, you know, having said that, you know, do you think there is a great benefit for aspiring artists to get into doing session work? Do you think that could be a real path into somewhere else? Or do you think that is the destination itself of being a very fulfilling career?
Well, it all depends on the person. I do know some studio players who, like I have a buddy in Nashville and like, that's all he does. And he loves it every day. He gets, you know, the song for the next day that he has to sit down and learn how to play. And that's like his job. And he loves doing that. For me personally, like it's more of just another thing to do. I love performing and playing and, just being a part of the recording process in general. So it was more like an opportunity that I just absolutely love and enjoy. And I definitely think it can help, like getting your name on a project that, you know, just building up that resume, especially if something is successful, like that can really, really lead to opportunities in the future. Like when your album comes out, and if it does really, really well, then I could be able to say, like, hey, I played drums on this record. And then people would be like, wow, that's impressive. And something similar like that can happen to anybody, really. Like, I get people asking, like, did you play drums on this? Like, something I recorded in someone's basement, like, 5 years ago. And I was like, yeah, I did. Like, that's really weird that you found that. But, you know, I definitely think it's something that if you have an opportunity to do and it's something that you want to do, that you should do it.
Well, see, another documentary actor recently watched is Muscle Shoals. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, and it talks about basically, besides this whole area, it was about this whole area where these artists came from, but it talked about a group of artists that played on just about every solo artist's record. I think it was in the 50s or in 60s, that kind of time frame. And I might be wrong. I think they were called the Wrecking Crew. I might
Be wrong. They played with Temptations.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I'm saying, you don't want to talk. Yeah, and it was just the idea. They were a session band, and they said that for them it was amazing because they got to be a band, but without having to leave their families. Like, they wanted to be at home with their families, but yet they played on all these huge records. You know what I mean?
Almost everything. It's crazy. You just pick something out of the 60s, and like, it's probably the Wrecking Crew. Along a certain style, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I have heard about the Wrecking Crew and watched some documentaries in school and just on YouTube and stuff. It's really, really interesting. I don't know if anything like that exists today. Like, I know there's certain session musicians, but I don't know if there's anything like a family of musicians like that that mass produces records. To my knowledge, at least.
Well, same with 20 Feet. Like, we're talking about all these documentaries, which is funny, but the 20 Feet from Stardom, too, I can't remember because I didn't get through the whole thing yet. But, Ross, I mean, you might remember early on it talks about this group. They were the first black woman group that started, you know, took over the background vocals. It was more gospel, had more soul. And, yeah, I didn't realize they played in, like, they sang on everything. So, anyways, it's interesting for me to see. And they were really, like, that's what they wanted. They didn't want to be the person in the front. They wanted to be part of the whole collective. And, you know, and if you realize that everyone's coming together to make something, you know, it's not just about that one person, you know, it's about everyone coming together to make something beautiful. I find it very interesting, and it's something that I think that it could, like you said, in the other side of it, can really, I think, open doors for you, because you might play on someone's record you don't think anything about, and that could just take you to a whole other place that you might want to get to, or like you said, just kind of brilliant, right? To be like, yeah, I played on that. know, so I would love to consider doing background vocals for some people, to be honest with you. I think that'd be really cool. I think that'd be really cool. Now, the other thing I want to add, let's talk about Tragic Hero a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, how'd you get that job, and what's your exact title at Tragic Hero Records?
Wow, my exact title. let's start where I got the job. So it all came together in a beautiful, beautiful way. I had been working at a Panera Bread since like high school. It is literally just a way to pay bills. And in the meantime, I was working at the Beachland Ballroom. It's a very pretty iconic club in Cleveland. And they have some decent shows come through there. And I was working with their sound guy. And that led to the opportunity at Live Nation. So I was doing stagehand work. And I was basically kind of getting my feet wet wherever I possibly could. I was doing booking. I was booking my band. I was booking other people's bands. I booked Earthfest, this giant outdoor festival that happens in April in Cleveland. And I booked some talent to come in on three different stages. And basically, my boss at Tragic Hero, they needed to hire somebody else because the business was expanding and they needed more manpower. So he was just on the phone calling different clubs and different people, music people in Cleveland. And my name kept coming up because they're like, oh yeah, call Eric. And then they called Tri-C where I go to school and they're like, okay, who are the top students? And my name came up again. So eventually they was like, okay, let's call Eric. And, met with Randy. He's the business manager, and we got along really, really well. He has a very, very awesome vision for the record label, and we have an awesome team and some amazing bands with some incredibly talented musicians, and there's just so much potential to do some amazing things there. Like, I honestly can't even get over it. Sometimes I just wake up and I'm so excited because we're doing some awesome things. And I'm very happy to be a part of it.
And you work primarily in the marketing department, am I right?
It's weird because the label's small. So really, although my official title is promotions, I handle everything. I do publicity work. I reach out to, you know, press for releases, features, interviews. I coordinate mailing lists. We have a merchandise website that we have to coordinate orders with for our artists. I do A&R with a lot of our bands. I'm usually on the phone a dozen times a day talking to somebody from another band.
I know you were doing that when we were in the studio during your breaks. You're like, oh, do you mind? I take this call.
Yeah, you know, got to talk to the different bands and let them know what's on. I kind of am like the contact between the bands and the label, just so, you know, they're not calling up the president of the label all the time. He has so many more important things to deal with. So I'm kind of like the guy that goes and talks to the bands and, you know, we work out strategies for how we're going to make their new record or get them on tour. And then I meet with my team and we make it happen.
So that's what I want to actually talk to you about. If you could share just a little bit of advice for independent artists out there that are not signed to a label, anything at all they can take from what you've learned and what you do, to help promote themselves and to help get themselves kind of out there, you know, and in addition to that, if you can also share what would get your attention and the people at Tragic Hero to sign a band.
I'm actually going to start with that one. I get tons of emails all the time, Facebook messages, personal email, work email. Hey, check out my band. Hey, can you listen to my band? Yeah. Oh, you know, like that. And I do listen to some of them, but if I listened to every single submission that came to me, I would literally, that would be a full-time job. It would. People send me hours of music every day. It's insane. So the first thing off the bat, if you're ever submitting anything to anybody, you got to figure out what you're saying and you have to communicate it clearly. If you say, "Hello, Eric," and everything is spelled properly and the links are there and there's a place I can check out their Facebook, everything is right there in this short, nice message, that is the ideal message. That's probably a message that I would click on and at least listen to them. Now, if they message me and they spell my name wrong and they don't use any punctuation and they make me run through hoops to even check out their band, like, I'm sorry. Like, you got to make it easy on the people who you're trying to get a hold of. And I have to deal with that too on the record label side too. You know, we're trying to get our artists in on, for instance, we just got Strawberry Girls in on Audio Tree, which is a really, really cool thing that I was able to coordinate. And the band was really happy about it. But, you know, you got to kind of, hey, what makes Audio Tree pay attention to Tragic Hero? You know, so it was a series of carefully crafted emails, and then we had to get their attention. And once they thought that the band was cool, then that's where you move on from there. But, really,
Eric,
we've
even received emails from Bridge Atlantic with people that want to be on the show. Dear sir or madam.
Yeah, dear sir or madam, to whom it may concern, someone just got completely, they picked a name out of a hat and just threw that in the email. We also had a really, I don't know if you've seen this email, Marcio, but someone emailed us because they wanted to meet 5 Seconds of Summer. Right. Now, we've never interviewed 5 Seconds of Summer. Neither of us work with 5 Seconds of Summer. None of us are related to 5 Seconds of Summer. Basically, we have no connection to this band whatsoever. She sent us this big, long email and she's like, "I'm really desperate to meet them." Niece is really desperate to meet them. Can you make this happen? And we get some really, really weird emails.
You know what? It's comical, but sometimes it's also like, fuck, you know, you're taken away from the people that actually took the time to send an actual email you know what I mean? So,
and I would actually the proportion of emails that we get that are well-structured and actually make us want to check people out, I would say that, you know, 20% maybe.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because some of these artists could be really good, but they're not doing themselves justice, or the people that are working on their behalf are not doing them justice.
Exactly.
It's such a simple thing, you know, get the person's name right, one. Keep it pretty short, but give us all the information that we need and give us a link that we can find your stuff, because I'm not going to spend time hunting you down because I've got too much to do.
You know, exactly. And you know what, another thing too is if you don't know the person's name, I've done this before, especially with social media now, just message, "Hey, who do I contact about this?" You know, and they'll usually say, like, Eric at Tragic Hero Records. They won't usually say that, but that's an example. Yeah. Every, no matter where I contact Eric. Jeez, man, Eric's really, he's really got his feet wet everywhere. But just do that. Just ask, you know, people are people. I mean, like, and if they're kind of ignoring you, one, maybe it's not some particular party you want to associate yourself with. And, or two, like, it's just hard to get their attention. So keep trying and don't stop. Right. So I just had to share that because everything you're saying, I'm sitting here biting my tongue and laughing because Ross and I know we've experienced similar things, you know?
That's something else that you mentioned that's great though, is don't give up. Don't give up. Like, until someone explicitly messages you back, like, stop emailing me, then, like, exactly. You know, and also don't be annoying about it too, but like, I always follow up on emails, especially if I really need something to happen in a short amount of time. And, you know, you can be nice about it, or even like, hey, I know I'm annoying, but this is my job and I really want to make sure this band gets this interview or whatever the case may be, you know. And same with bands too. I have gotten like emails from bands and stuff, and then like sometimes I'll get them and then I'm like, okay, this guy's emailed me 5 times, like I'll listen to his song, you know. And like you said, we get a lot of music and some of it's really, really good, but it's not all about the music too. It's a whole package deal too. Like, maybe their social media is really, really poor, or maybe they messed up somewhere else, or they don't have their business together too. It's really like this well-oiled machine of tiny moving parts that make the whole picture come together. And I guess like the advice I can give for people, if you really, really want to get on a label, you have to be able to be incredibly original and then sell yourselves as original. Not saying sell out, I'm saying like to the guy who is going to look to be able to sign you, which isn't even me on the label, it'd be the president of Tragic Hero. If he was looking at a band, he would say, what makes this band special? You know, why should I care about this band when there's like 20 other bands that are already on different labels that sound just like them, you know?
No, honestly, if anyone understands persistence, it's me. And there's actually a quote I want to share. I just pulled it up because I love this quote. It's by Calvin Coolidge, and it's, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is always a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. And honestly, I could not agree with that more. Persistence, persistence, persistence. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Ready as I'll ever be.
It was no segue or anything. Just jump right into it.
I actually quite liked it. I thought it was quite smooth, even though it wasn't segued, if that's a thing. I felt you eased into it very nicely. It was a calm before the storm,
thank you, Ross.
Or something like that.
Thank you, Ross. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat. Sorry, Marcio.
He knew. TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook, I guess. Neither.
Yeah, I hear. Yoga or yogurt? Oh, I think he'd be an Instagram guy. Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Paris or Paramore?
Oh, Paramore. That's tough. It's tough.
Texas or Ohio?
Oh, dang. I was born in Texas. I live in Ohio now. Because of the cold, Texas.
We asked the tough questions here on Breaking Bad.
That was a tough one. I wasn't expecting that.
Breaking Bad or Dexter?
Breaking Bad. Ooh, Breaking Bad.
You know, it's funny I'm going to ask you this because the first time I met you, I thought you looked like Nate from Finch, like to a T. I even showed my wife the interview I did of you for my documentary about the making of the album. And she's like, holy shit, that's Nate Barklow, I think is his name. Like, anyways, you look identical to him in his younger days. Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Not an insult. No, he's a good dude. So the question is, Finch or Senses Fail?
Finch. Yeah, Finch.
I go with Finch too.
You're smart man.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh. I've always wanted to go to Scotland, although I've not been there. I'll say Scotland. Sorry, I've been to Canada. I've always wanted to go to Scotland.
Jason Bourne or James Bond?
Jason Bourne.
South Park or Family Guy?
South Park.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Call of Duty or Gears of War?
Gears of War.
Michael Jackson or totally of equivalent awesomeness, Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
See that? See what I just put up there? It was like instinct. I can't even like, I feel like it was instinct. Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
I'm surprised by that answer, by the way. I'm surprised by that answer, Ricky Martin. Why Ricky Martin over Ricky Gervais?
I just, first thing.
Hey, that's what it is. Okay. No questioning. I'm surprised.
Would you say whale or kale?
Yeah.
You got a cowboy.
Whale or kale, yeah.
He's from, I didn't know he's from Texas, so now he's like, now you're cowboy.
No, yeah. kale, I guess. Kale, you know, kale salad and some croutons.
Well, it's to balance out the fact you picked meat before, right? Just so I'm not like...
Yeah. I eat greens every once in a while.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And the final question, which is very important, Eric, to answer correctly. And there is a correct answer. Let me just say that.
Ross or Marcio?
Oh... I knew that was coming. Oh, look at that. Look at the time.
You have to answer this one.
Marcio, I spent
a whole, thank God.
Full week in the studio with you playing drums, so, you know.
Getting yelled at by Jim Wirt. So, everyone can find you. Are you more of an Instagram guy? I took a picture of you taking a picture of yourself for Instagram at one point, so...
Yeah, I don't know, man. Instagram's cool. I'm
that's Eric D. Heald, right? Or Eric D. Heald. ERICDHEALD. Sometimes I spell out these. It's probably so annoying. People could find Tragic Hero on Instagram at Tragic Hero Records. Actually, just go to tragic-hero.com. CrushToneStudios.com. Facebook is Tragic Hero Records. And are you okay with people finding you on Facebook as well?
Yeah, totally.
Eric period healed. Or Eric dot. I guess it's a little better than...
Yeah, we don't use period here.
For me, you can be a part of my brand new solo album that Eric played drums on just about all the songs like a badass at marcianovelli.com/pledge. You can watch my award-winning documentary about my last album that came out a few years ago. You can watch it for free at marcianovelli.com/walkingproof. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. You will find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, Buck Naked Soap Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so be sure to check them all out.
If you'd like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. It'd be awesome if you did that.
Yes, absolutely. So that we can keep doing this show and or else we have to stop. And we would be very sad to stop. And we're almost at, we're nearing 100 episodes very soon, Ross. And we're nearing about we're a year and a half in to actually, since we've launched, a little more than a year and a half in.
Yep.
And we would love to keep doing this. It's a fun thing for us, and we get to interview amazing people like Eric here and share his experiences and knowledge with all of you. So please do consider going on patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic to become a sponsor of the show for as low as $1 an episode. So that's my pitch. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. You're a real sweetheart. You're a great guy. And I'm glad I met you, and I'm glad, proud to say that you play on my record.
Thanks, guys. It was awesome. I'm glad I met both of you, too, and definitely keep in contact. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.